This is Carl the Jackal Frampton.
Hi, this is David Healy.
Hello, this is Stephen Ferris.
Hi, I'm Bethany Ferris.
Hi, this is Joey Barton.
I'm Jonas Gutierrez.
Hi, this is Harry Kuehl.
And you're listening to The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark. I'm a man.
And welcome along to The Score with me, Michael Clark. And coming up on this week's rather packed show, we're talking to the goalkeeper that came out on the right side of one of the longest penalty shootouts in the history of the beautiful game. Gareth Dean is the happy man. He was scoring, he was saving, and he was celebrating come the end of it all for Coleraine. He is on the show. We are talking to Lorne Hotshot Andy Ryan on this week's programme as well as he gears up to take the defending champions to the home of the current league leaders for the Saturday tea time game. We'll be delving into the championship, a shock in the cup as Portadown progressed at the expense of Crusaders, and it's an important test this weekend as well for the Ports as they try and bounce back from their defeat last weekend against Institute. They're currently second in the league, the Shamrock Park Club, and Ryan Mays has been having a great season. He'll be joining us shortly, and that's not all, because a big documentary was brought out this week, well in fact last night, by the Northern Ireland Football League. It's called Inside Cliftonville, and the man behind that, David Kerr, joins us on the show to talk about shining a light on the league we all love. It's all coming up right here on The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark.
It's good to have you along with us once again. Settle yourself in. Ready for more? We have an hour of Irish League chat coming your way right here on The Score. And before we get into our guests, a look at the fixtures. There are five top flight matches taking place on Saturday. Four of those are 3 o'clock kickoffs. You have Ballymena United against Glenavon, which is usually a pretty tasty encounter. It has to be said, Glenavon are in better form lately. Ballymena United feel probably like they just need a bit more luck at times, especially after being dragged to penalties and exiting the cup in the fashion that they did. How will that one pan out at the showgrounds? Cliftonville, they've lost their last couple of games, beaten by Larne, albeit narrowly, and then knocked out of the cup by Dungannon Swifts. Will Newry City pay the price of facing a team that want a response, or can they add to some headaches in North Belfast? That game at Solitude, Dungannon Swifts, buoyed by their cup progress, take on Carrick Rangers, who fell foul of penalties against Newry City. That game at Stangmore Park. Carrick Rangers have struggled against the bottom half teams. Will they struggle at Stangmore? Let's see. And Loughall against Crusaders. They have continued to impress. They certainly didn't need any luck in their game against Ballymena United last weekend. A comprehensive victory for the Lakeview Park side. They are welcoming the Crews, who, have hit a little bit of a sticky patch. A draw against Glentoran followed up with a defeat at home against Coleraine, and they were talking about the goals they should have scored. They certainly didn't score enough goals when they went to Shamrock Park earlier in the week, exiting the Bet McLean Cup 2-1. So do Crusaders rectify things at Loughall? That will be what Stephen Baxter is going there with the intention of doing. And in the half five game, Linfield versus Larne, and Andy Ryan will be helping us preview that. And not to forget, Linfield Larne on the BBC on Monday, live on Sky. Coleraine versus Glentoran, and our first guest of this week's show is from Coleraine.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Kicking off this week's show with one of the craziest things I think any of us has seen in quite some time, possibly ever. One of the longest shootouts in the history of world football. It's tied third, and my goodness, I genuinely thought it was never going to end. So can you only imagine what it would be like for someone to be playing in it And then, let's go one step further, imagine being one of the keepers. Well, luckily we don't need to imagine, because we have the winning keeper, Corain's goalie and hero, Gareth Dean, joining us now on the show. Gareth, how are you?
I'm very well, Michael. Yourself?
I'm doing good. What was that like? I mean, it must have just been bedlam.
It's only really today, obviously, it's kind of sunk in, you know. I didn't really appreciate it after the game on Tuesday, but it felt like Wednesday morning by the time we finished. But it was just, we were sitting in the changing room after the match going like, what has just happened? And then Johnny McNabb came in and said it's the third longest penalty shootout in world football, and we were just kind of like, we can see a reason why, because it just felt like it was never going to stop.
And the crazy thing, so just in case someone has been living under a rock, 44 penalties in the end in the game between Ballymena United and Corain. And Corain won 18-17. And within that, you had to hit a couple of penalties yourself, and you scored them.
Yeah, I had to hit two in the end. You know, I said the order after the match, I'll never put my hand up ever again. I had another one. Hopefully, never have to hit another in my career. But I'm glad I scored the both of them, and got us into the next round of the draw.
What was it like actually having to take a penalty? Have you done that before in your career?
Just in training, you know, trying to show off from some of the outfield players like Chevy and like Josh are obviously penalty taker at the minute, try and hit the top corners and stuff, but in a game it's, you know, you have to score, and I had to obviously score on the night. Unfortunately I had to take two, and luckily I scored both of them.
Now, it was one for the Anoraks, the fact that Corain switched up the order after the first round of penalties, which is absolutely within the rules of the game, but I never, ever see anybody doing it. So when your sequence is changing, do you as players know, is this something you've rehearsed, or is this kind of an on-the-moment decision by somebody?
No, I think it was just on the moment from the managing staff. I think I didn't expect to hit my second one so quick, but... I think Oran kind of met with the boys that had scored, and maybe the boys that had missed, he kind of left in towards the end, hoping it wouldn't go that long. But unfortunately for the boys that missed, they had to step up, hit again, and thankfully they all did, and they scored.
Because it's one thing as well, going right, the keeper's hitting, and that's the point where if it's gone that long, you're going, oh no, the keeper's hitting, and no one really knows what a goalkeeper's going to do with a penalty, because you're thinking he's going to approach this like a goal kick nearly and just hit it as hard as they can. You score, but then you're going again, Gareth. You've barely had time to think about it. Did you go like, right, I'm going to try this time, or did you run up to the ball still not knowing what you were going to do?
The first one, I just kind of thought, put your laces through it, try and keep it below the bar, and hopefully it goes in. The second one, I thought I'd try to be a bit more smart and try to reverse it with the inside of the foot. I think Sam Johnson got a very good handle on it. Luckily, hit the inside of the post and went in, which is. I'm really glad of, but in the future I'll just be running up and stick my boots clean through it and hit it as hard as I can.
Well, this is it now. I mean, do you get to make an argument for, I want to be the regular? Some goalkeepers have done that.
I said the other one after the match, I'm only hitting the normal if there's a goal bonus in it for me, because I'm not putting my name forward again. My job is to keep the ball in the net, and I let the forward players and the more flashy players take the penalties in future.
Because for most people, the idea of being tasked with your job, which is keeping penalties out, is terrifying. The pressure that is there on you, the goalkeeper, if the other team keeps scoring, it's like, why is he not saving any? And yet it's such a hard thing to do. You pulled off a few saves in the shootout ultimately. That is a huge reason why you were victorious. What is it like facing penalties for most of us that just think, you know, you'd wake up in a cold sweat at the prospect of it?
It's just a bit of knowledge of the game. You know the certain type of players, what they are. You know, I know Stephen McCullough, he scored his penalty, but I had a feeling that he's left footer. He likes to try and curl the ball, so he might try and go across his body. You kind of try and read the player and read maybe how the game's going. If they're low in confidence, they might try and go down the middle. They might just try and hit it as hard as they can. You kind of, the longer you play the game, you know, you pick up with things and you try and, you know, Michael Doherty's very good at it. He goes past, goes back onto all the previous clips of players, and he would give me wee bits of information to think about when they're running up and where their last few penalties have went. So there's different factors in the game. I would love to say it's all me, but you know, there's media team, there's obviously Michael Doherty, the goalkeeper coach, and then there's other players that maybe play with the likes of some of the players in the other team. So wee bits of knowledge and information from them always helps, but again, it just goes off your gut feeling on the night, how things are going, and and hope you go the right way.
And in terms of bizarre things that could ever happen to you in your career, I'm assuming this has got to be right up there.
Yeah, that's what I said to the Lions fan the other night. It's like, is someone going to miss here? Because it feels like this is going on for ages. Daryl Coyle's, God help him, I would love to see how he got them stains or that orange kit the other night, the dirt on it. But, between that and the Maribor result, with Coleraine anyway, it's definitely the two highlights about time of Coleraine so far anyway.
And to be fair too, Sam Johnston, I know he missed what ended up being the decisive penalty, but he had such a good performance, and goalkeepers union strong. I know one of you had to be in the losing team, but he's such a record of saving penalties. Like, you know, when he's making those saves, it's like, if you don't do your bit next, your team's out. So he was fairly cranking the pressure up right until the end.
Yeah, Sam had a great game the other night. He made a few good saves in the 90 minutes and extra time as well. So he was going to do a penalty shootout full of confidence, and I knew Sam from my days at Linfield as well, and I know what kind of goalkeeper he is. He's brilliant, and as you say, he's a good record of saving penalties. So it was always going to be tough, you know. We hit first if he saved, and in sudden death I had to save or they had to miss. So that was going through my head at some points. Hopefully, when he saved, I had to save. So I'm thankful I was able to do that, and we got the result in the end.
Oh, I don't think we're going to see anything like that. I mean, the other game that went to penalties is a really straightforward 3-1, unfortunately. Didn't go the way of my team, Carrick Rangers, but look, them's the shakes. Coleraine celebrating through to the next round, and people must be going, yeah, how much Coleraine love this competition. You know, you've been to the final the last three seasons. You're clearly not wanting anybody to knock you out of it this year either, because you went so long, so late to make sure you progressed to this quarter-final stage now.
Yeah, it's like before the match, Warren kind of said it's different than a league, it's a cup game, so it's one match, you have to go out and win, you have to find a way no matter what it is. I didn't think 20 or 42 penalties, 44 penalties is going to be the answer, but at the end of the day, the aim was to get through the next round. I'm thankful to be able to do that, and I think the last two seasons, obviously getting to the final and being defeated by Clinton and Linfield last season, it's a real driving force for this season to try and come put things right. I think that's the main thing at Coleraine, is to try and win a trophy this season. And you know, if you don't win the league, you know, if you bring a trophy back to the show, it's always a big plus.
It'll be either Limavady or Glenavon that you play next whenever they have their match, which is yet to take place. And a good antidote to recent, you know, matches was the Crusaders game last weekend, because you know, going into that game, especially being the away side, you wouldn't have been fancied to necessarily get the result if you were to compare the two teams in their form recently, but that must have been a real lift for everybody getting the 2-0.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're the most critical people in that change room, you know, for our performances of late. We haven't started the season off very well, and you know, some of our performances haven't really been up to scratch. I think bar Glentoran away at the Oval, winning 2-1, I think the Cliftonville game might have been a good turning point for us. I think we lost the game 2-1, but I think we came out of that result or that match with, you know, massive positives, and really taken into Seaview last week. We know how they play, we've been there many a time, and thankfully we got the 2-0 win and got away with 3 points. But we're hoping now that's going to be the turning point in our season going forward.
See, that is interesting, because there's plenty of interviews we can probably all think of having heard or watched after games where players say, you know, in a defeat, well, there's still plenty of positives. But you genuinely felt that from the Cliftonville game. Look, there's signs here we're getting on the right path, and then you were able to take that into the next match.
Yeah, you know, as I say, we're the most critical people in that club. You know, the players and the staff, we know the standards haven't been good enough. From the start of the season, you know, maybe there's been wee blips here and there where you might have seen a wee patch of a positive, but I think most of the season's been pretty negative for us. I think it's been well documented in the media and stuff that with the squad we have, we should be doing better, and we know that ourselves. So as I say, hopefully come Monday night here against Glentoran at the Showgrounds, we'll be able to turn our show on for the fans, and we're able to show that, you know, we have the ability to take that club where it needs to be.
And that's a big game. It's live on Sky as well. What sort of match are you expecting?
Expecting a good game. You know, Glentoran as well are not picking up the results they maybe should be. But like ourselves, we're huffing and puffing majority of the season. So Monday night, under the lights, live on TV, you know, so it's, you don't need any form of like boosting there to go and put a good show on for the fans and obviously the people watching at home. So hoping for a good night and hopefully a clean sheet in there as well.
Thought you might say that as a goalkeeper. There's a chance to climb the table. There's just one point between both teams. Glentoran on 24, Corian on 23. And Glentoran last league outing beaten by Carrick Rangers. That seemed an absolutely incredible match. And I do just want to, at this point in the programme, because I haven't mentioned it, say, you know, such an exciting day for Carrick Rangers fans. And then the sad news that followed it, the passing of Davy Hilditch, that was that night, and the news came out the next day, and our thoughts with the Hilditch family and everyone at Carrick Rangers at this time. I knew Davy very well, so it's a profound loss for someone who was both the mayor of my hometown and pretty much every role going at Carrick Rangers. So my thoughts with Stuart King and his team as they, you know, look to try and focus just on football things this week, but we're thinking of everybody there. But on a football sense, that game, you know, Carrick Rangers going to the Oval and winning shows you kind of what we're talking about in this league, Gareth, that it's so hard to know what to expect on a match day.
Yeah, you know, everyone's capable of beating everyone. You know, we went the lock all at the very start of the season and found ourselves 1-0 down after 3 minutes, and we knew from then we were like, we're going for a battle here. And then went to Stangmore not that long after, ended up drawing 2-2. Went to Taylor's Avenue, we were beat 2-0. So you know, results are, this, that Irish league is crazy. Everyone's capable of beating everyone on their day. There's no real one that sticks out for me. Bart, me, Linfield are sitting top of the league at the minute, and they're going well. But other than that, I think everyone's capable of beating everyone. Like ourselves going to Seaview last week, no one probably gave us a chance to go there and get a result. Never mind keep a clean sheet. So it's exciting. Like, that's why it draws so many fans into the games, because you don't know what you're going to get. You know, your home team might be flying, and then the away team come and put a real sicker on the day, and you end up getting beat. So it's really, really exciting, and it's going to get better, I think, coming into this Christmas period.
I wonder if nearly that needs to be factored in more when we're looking at games. You know, you're talking about being critical and being unhappy with some of the results, and I get it and I understand it when you look at the table. But the other way of saying is, you know, you're 6 points off third, but equally you're only 2 points off, better off than the team who are seventh. That shows you how tight that is, and it doesn't take much to be, you know, the best thing since sliced bread or the worst thing going.
Yeah, football's a very fickle game. You know, you could be the best thing, like me on Tuesday night, and then you go on the Monday night, and you know the game mightn't go your way, and you're the worst in the world. But that's why everyone comes to the game. That's why people, we all play football. We play football for the highs, but we also play football for the lows, because you know there's going to be a positive at the end of it.
That's a very good point. Well made. Great to have you on the show, Gareth. I think, to be honest, you should just go and have a lie down now until Monday. I think you've absolutely earned it.
No lying down. You know, the manager's very clear, he wants us all ready to go, and we're training Saturday morning and then ready to go on Monday. You know, the games come thick and fast, and as I say, we want to try and pick up as many points going forward now to the end of the season and see where that takes us.
Well, you can tell you're still a young man, because I think most goalkeepers, if they were slightly finer vintage, they'd be feeling their back by now.
Oh, definitely felt my back all season picking the ball. I've done that many times, don't worry about that.
Oh no, I wouldn't be saying that, Gareth. Well done for your performance, absolutely super, and congratulations getting through to the next round, and thank you for coming on to The Score.
Thanks again, Michael, thank you.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Now, huge game happening Saturday night, the tea time kickoff, Linfield against Larne, last season's top two, this season's top two as well. And with Linfield in a handsome position, Larne know they have a job to do when they go to Windsor Park. They'll be wanting to make sure Linfield don't pull further away. And joining us on the show is a fan favourite from the Invermen. It's Andy Ryan. Andy, great to have you back on.
No, thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Now, we've seen you back in action, and I'm sure Larne fans are relieved of that. But just give us a little update on your general fitness. You were carrying a knock the last few weeks.
Yeah, I was struggling a wee bit from the Glenavon game. I had to come off 40 minutes with my hamstring, you know, but I've been working hard behind the scenes with the physio team and you know, I'm feeling good, back to full fitness. Hopefully I can stay that way.
And back in amongst the goals. You didn't leave anybody waiting too long.
No, it was kind of when you're out for 4 or 5 weeks, you're kind of itching to get back, and you know, it's always good to get back with a goal.
Now, talk to me about that game against Ards, because on the face of it, I think everyone had an idea of what would happen, and I don't think too many people saw 3-3 and extra time on the cards.
No, fair play to Ards. They came at us and they upped their game, and they were pretty good tonight. But in terms of us, the so-called bigger side, you know, going into the kind of games, you're expected to win. So, you know, it's kind of lose-lose for us. You're expected to win 3 or 4, but you know, the way it went all night, questions get asked. But you know, I thought, yeah, we got there in the end via extra time. But you know, the main thing is we're in the heart for the next round.
And is that, do you think, a sign of a bit of character in a different sense from your team? Because you know, sometimes people can say it's easy to get complacent in these games, and if you aren't where you want to be in a match, trying to find that gear or trying to get yourself where you need to be in the game, it's not always easy.
No, as I said, we knew going into that game it wasn't going to be easy. We know what kind of game it was going to be, but you know, it's a bit of character for the boys. We showed that already on a number of occasions this season, that if I have to dig that bit deeper, we can do that.
Well, yeah, you had to do it in the end. I'm just wondering, how does everybody feel with, 30 more minutes than intended? Are you a wee bit tired going into this Linfield game? Have they been going easy in training then as a result?
No, absolutely not. We've been gearing up for games like that. So if we have to go the extra 30 minutes, we've got that in the tank. You know, we're working hard for be a good pre-season, and you know, we've got a number of tough weeks. We don't get any easy days in it training. We're always working hard and doing that extra. So you know, what I'm saying, but the boys are fit and we're ready to go.
And of course, as fate would have it then, as the quarter-final draw was made, you're at home to Linfield. It feels like if there's cup football, you have to meet.
Yeah, it seems that way. You know, it's another big game. We're at home, and you know, hopefully there'll be a big crowd at Inver Park, and it should be a good game for the neutrals.
People will look into the fact that, you know, the head-to-head record, Larne have certainly got the bragging rights in recent times. I know that's what you're going to be hoping will be the case come the end of play on Saturday night and further into the season. But do you see or do you sense a different Linfield team this season? I appreciate you've already beaten them twice.
Yeah, as I'm saying, we kind of knew that not only Linfield but most of all teams would up our game this season. Not only would they play us, because we're the champions now, they wants to beat us. But you know, it's just another big game on Saturday. We can only concentrate on what we do, and hopefully we can do that and come away with 3 points.
And you know, looking at it, you know, there will be pressure that comes with these games naturally anyway, but with them having an 8-point advantage, you don't need it spelled out to you.
No, certainly not. But you know, it's 8 points, and it's early November. The league medals don't get handed out in November. So you know, it's a big game. We know we want to go and win it. So that's what we'll be gearing up this week to do, is hopefully go there with a game plan, come away with all 3 points.
And what has this season felt like? You know, people talk about what it's like to go and win a title, and you were a big part in winning a title. But defending a title is a different beast.
Yeah, it certainly is, as I touched on there. You know, we're the champions, and every time somebody plays us, they're going to want to take a scalp. So, you know, we kind of spoke about that at the start of the season, that teams would up their game and would have a target on our back, and it's up to us to deal with that kind of pressure. But, you know, it's a pressure that you want as a player. People come and try to beat you and take that scalp. So, no, we spoke about that, and, you know, it's up to us to deal with that kind of pressure.
And we've seen players taking responsibility. You know, Paul O'Neill's been in brilliant form. Joe Thompson has just nearly out of nowhere found another gear, and that's what you need throughout a season, isn't it? People to show up and sort of give you as many goal scoring options as possible, as much as you'd love to get all the goals.
No, that's one thing we've got here. We've got a real good squad with strength and depth. So you know, if somebody's injured or somebody's maybe struggling for a bit of form, we've got somebody itching at the bit to get into the team and take their chance. So that's one thing we have got this season. We've got a good squad, so if we do need to make the changes, we've got boys there ready to come in.
And what's Joe been like now that he's, you know, all of a sudden he's just turned this tap on and he can't turn it off? Is he unbearable? Is it just get the ball to me, lads, I'll do the business? Has he got a swagger about him now, or is he just business as normal?
Well, don't get me started. He's already loud enough as it is. He's got a couple of goals. He's got a wee bit louder. I don't know if that was possible, but he has.
Well, you know, fair play. At least he's backing it up, certainly on the pitch. And in terms of the players that you're bringing in, I know everyone's made a plenty about the Scottish contingent, which I don't think anyone needs explaining that Andy's a part of the Scottish contingent, dear listeners. But also now you're bringing in some players from the MLS. So I'm just wondering, as a culture shock, Scotland and Northern Ireland, they're cousins if not brothers. America, a bit different.
Yeah, it's certainly different. Different style of football. It's just different in every way, but fair play to the boys that have come in. They've kind of grabbed it with scruffy neck and, you know, they've adapted pretty quickly.
And have you started using any American slang now? Are you talking about like take it to the end zone or anything like that?
No, it's all the way about. We're trying to teach them a bit. You know, you need to speak that wee bit slow when you're talking to the guys, but no, all joking aside, they've been very good since they've come in, and about the change room and stuff, they've kind of mingled well with the group.
I was on holidays in New York for a week, which I'm sure everyone's sick of me talking about at this stage, but it was just so wonderful. And one of the nights sitting in the hotel watching a bit of MLS, and I'm sure the commentator's very popular in America, but I just sitting laughing at some of the terminology, saying, are you serious? And they seem to get really excited about corners, which I didn't grasp. I don't really know why corners are exciting, but they were.
No, as I said, it is a different style of football. And Hassie and Elijah, they two have come in. It's one thing when I came to the club, the boys are great. They don't make you feel left out. They welcome you into the group with open arms, and that kind of does help you settle. So I think that's helped them in that sense as well.
Yeah, coming in and having that environment right it makes such a difference. And, you know, speaking of the environment, I have to say, I read Tomas Cosgrove coming out and talking about losing his captaincy. What a professional in terms of how he's responded. I always admire people that hold their hands up and say, look, I'm not holding any grudges, something went wrong, I made a mistake, and he looks like somebody that's just willing to put the work in. I think we all know that about him anyway, but what a player to have in your team.
Yeah, he's great. You know, as I'm saying, whether he's got the armband or not, he'll always lead by example, starting with his own performances. You know, he's been asked to play in a couple of different positions this season already, and there's no mourning. He just kind of gets his head down and gets on with it, and he's a really, really good professional.
And I'm interested to know about Tiernan Lynch and impact with you in terms of what your relationship's like. And the reason I'm asking that is I had Andrew Waterworth on the programme last week, of course, a fantastic striker in his day in the Irish League, and he told a story which I had never heard when he was a young player starting out at Glentoran, that it was actually Tiernan who was on the coaching staff there that helped shape him and make sure he was in better positions because he naturally just wasn't taking them up. Now, I appreciate you're in a different stage of your career than Andy was, but is he still as hands-on with the detail for more experienced players like you are now?
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, he likes to get on the grass and he likes to coach and do the shape and patterns of play and stuff like that. So yeah, he is still very hands-on, and you can see he's enthusiastic about the game, the way he gets his message across to the boys, and it rubs off on us too.
And we often don't talk enough about Seamus and what he's like, because I know he's, well, someone's called him a tactical genius to me, and I'm probably inclined to go with that.
Yeah, well, it does. You know, Seamus kind of watches a game from a different viewpoint. He's not in the dugout, he kind of watches it from a stand, so he sees it better from higher up, and you know, he'll look back in a lot of video stuff, and he'll bring the boys and sit us down and go through stuff. So yeah, Seamus is kind of quite big on his tactical side of the game as well.
And who does more shouting of the two?
Flip a coin, both of them. No, you know, two of them are pretty calm characters, but they have got that other side when need be.
Well, I think most managers would have that, or most coaches certainly. You know, when it comes to getting good results, the Cliftonville game must have done you the world a good, you know, in all seriousness, because they've been playing some very attractive football. It's still very tight at the top of the table, but you've got a 3-point advantage on them, and that win over them last Friday was huge.
Yeah, we knew going into that game it was a big game, you know, Friday night under the lights, it was always going to be big anyway, but you know, they're a good side, you know, they're passing, they've got really, really good movement in the midfield, so no, it was a good game. They had a chance early on, 2 minutes I think it was, and Rohan made a big save, you know, and that kind of brought us into the game, and you know, we had two chances and we took them. So yeah, it was a big but good 3 points.
Because after a couple of draws, I mean, that's where you're at, isn't it? A couple of draws and people want to talk about crisis, but you draw with Crusaders, which is far from embarrassing, and then you're held by Dungannon again, who've got that little, voodoo sign over you this season somehow, rather than a 4-4 and 0-0. And people were wondering going into the Carrick game, you know, what we were going to see from Larne, but it seems like it was just a very brief wobble, if it was one in the first place.
Yeah, you know, that is something we've looked at, you know, maybe one too many draws. I think it's 5 draws we've got so far. You know, we want to, in an ideal world, we'd like to turn them into wins, you know, but, you know, we don't panic, you know, certainly as a group. Very calm, you know, we know there's going to be pressure on us, but, you know, a couple of draws and people start speaking, but, you know, that's up to us as a group to block that out and just continue doing what we're doing.
And it also speaks to the success you had last season, that immediately there's, you know, there's next to no grace given if you do err at all.
Yeah, you know, that's last season though, you know what I mean? It's we're in a brand new season now, we're 15 games in, so, you know, we want to try and replicate what we've done last season, so, you know, we need to keep picking up points and see where we end up.
And what can we expect here on Saturday? You know, as a commentator, I want to selfishly see a game with 7 or 8 goals. I have a feeling it's going to be pretty cagey.
Yeah, well, never know till that first whistle goes, the way both teams set up, you know. But, you know, we'll certainly be going there to win the game and come away with 3 points. So, no, that should be another good game. You know, when both sides meet, it normally is a good game. So, hopefully we get another one on Saturday.
And with regards to the cup competitions, I mean, are you looking at it and going, you know, we want success across the board, let's win as many trophies as possible, or is it the league's the bread and butter, anything else is a bonus?
No, look, at the end of the day, whatever competition or game we play, we want to win. You know, that's the kind of mentality that the management team have been trying to build at the club. It doesn't matter if it's the Antrim Shield, the League Cup, or the league, you know, we want to win every game that we go out there on the pitch. So, you know, whatever competitive game as possible, we want to win and go as far as we possibly can.
And is there internally any sort of, I don't know, a bit of bragging rights amongst the strikers as to who's going to end up the top scorer at the end of the season? I feel like a bit of healthy competition might exist.
No, there isn't, to be fair. In all honesty, you know, I've said it before, if we win 2-0 and I don't score, the most important thing is the team at the end of the day. So, no, as long as the team's winning, I'll be happy.
Okay, because I've seen some of your forwards huff if they don't score 3 goals in games of score 2, so I'm surprised at that.
No, maybe there's a wee bit of healthy competition there, but, you know, the main thing is that we're pushing each other as a group to do as well as we can.
Okay, appreciate your time, Andy. Great to have you on the Score. Thanks so much for coming on.
No problem. Cheers. Thank you.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Great to have Andy Ryan on the programme. What a match that is going to be at Windsor Park. The tea time game, Linfield versus Larne. Who's your money on? What do you think? And we have been mentioning with Andy and before with Gareth about the Betmaclean Cup. In case you missed the draw on Wednesday, just to quickly run you through the quarterfinals in the competition. Dungannon Swifts against Newry City. Portadown will play the winners of Annie United Loughgall. Larne will play Linfield, as we've been discussing, and Coleraine will be against either Limavady United or Glenavon. Those matches will be played on Tuesday, the 5th of December, and from that we have the semi-final draw, which is Coleraine, Limavady or Glenavon against Portadown or Anna or Loughgall. And the second semi-final is a little easier to get your head around. Dungannon Swifts or Newry City versus Larne or Linfield. And those games will be played on either Tuesday the 16th or Wednesday the 17th of January. That'll all be confirmed by the Northern Ireland Football League. But let's not waste any time. Let's get our next guest onto the programme.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Well, our next guest has been in top form this season, and don't just take my word for it. Look at the club. he is playing for. They have given him their Player of the Month the last 2 months, September and October. He's double figures for goals. He's probably there or thereabouts with his assists already. We haven't even hit Christmas yet. The player I'm referring to is Ryan Mays from Portadown. Ryan, great to have you back on the programme.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
There's some of the accolades, some of the things you've been doing. I mean, you must be enjoying your football at the minute with all the goals you're scoring.
Yeah, definitely. It's no secret that at a slow start to the season, I was on the bench and I wasn't too happy with it. I don't think any player was happy on the bench, but I worked hard to get back into the team. And yeah, thankfully it paid off and I've had a few goals and a few assists and we're sitting there in second place at the minute at the table, and hopefully we'll aim to push on even higher.
Do you think that's given you a wee bit of extra motivation, as if you needed it?
Yeah, to be fair, at the start of the season, look, I had a bad pre-season, like, there's no point in lying, and now I went with what he thought was his best 11 at the start of the season for the first few games, and it gave me a bit of fire in my belly to get the appetite back to start enjoying it again and getting the love back for it, and thankfully I got that, and I've went on a wee run there. I've had a dry spell there, didn't score in two in a row there, but hopefully the goals will start flowing back in again from this weekend on.
If that's a dry spell, there's quite a few of us in trouble. No, you're doing very well, and you've got the name now, Magic Maze. I'm sure you're hoping that sticks.
I'll take it as long as we keep getting 3 points on a Saturday and I keep chipping in to help the team, then it can stick there. Yeah,
I mean, obviously in terms of the league, if we deal with that first, I know a lot of people will want to talk about that cup result against Crusaders, and we most certainly will be, but after a good run of games, I'm sure there's a bit of frustration at the last outing in the league last weekend. Was it defeat against Institute?
Yeah, definitely. We knew from playing Institute earlier on the season what they were about and what they were going to bring to the game, and we, truth be told, we didn't do enough in the final third, and at the end of the day, you've got to put the ball in the opposition's net to win football games, and ultimately we didn't do that, and Institute did, so we can come away from it with a few positives. Yeah, and say in the second half we controlled the game, but ultimately, as I say, we didn't put the ball in the back of the net, so we can do complaints, and Institute were worthy winners.
And they've gone about their business. They've moved up the table, and I don't know whether as many people were talking about them at the start of the season as they would be now. I mean, they're a couple of points behind you with a game in hand at this stage in the campaign.
Yeah, they're a top quality side, and even every Institute side that I've played against throughout the year, they play football the right way. They get it on the ground and they knock it about, and they try and penetrate you and they try and hurt you in places. There's no different to them this year. They're a top quality side, and they'll definitely be there or thereabouts come the end of April this year.
The thing about the Championship is, if you take your eye off it for a week or two, you look at the table again and go, oh, there's a whole pile of new teams in and around this time, what's going on? It just seems to fluctuate, you know, at the early stages where we're talking about Newington and the Welders at the moment, Dundella, they've been on a terrific run, they've 30 points after 13 games there, top, Institute are third, Ballyclare fourth.
Yeah, that's a mad league, to be honest, like, it's just crazy. If you win three or four games in a row, you could find yourself up near the top, and if you lose three or four in a row, you could find yourself down near the bottom. Like, there's maybe eight or nine teams there, you can put a blanket over the whole eight or nine of them. There's not much separating them, and that's the beauty of the league we're in. And yeah, it's an exciting league, and it's interesting. As I say, if you go on a wee run of three or four or five games in a row, you'll find yourself at the top, and vice versa, if you go on a wee run or a losing defeat of three or four or five, you'll find yourself near the bottom.
And after the first handful of games, Portadown fans were getting a little worried, maybe going, oh my goodness, it better not be a season like this. What was it like in the camp when you had that difficult spell?
Yeah, look, we lost three in a row, and we weren't playing well, and we tweaked a few things in-house. We changed our formation a bit and to suit certain personnel on the pitch, and it worked, thankfully, and we knew that there was no panic stations within the group itself. We knew the quality we had in the change room and the management team we have. We knew that they've been there before and they've done it, so to speak. So we knew that there was no worries or no panic signs on our behalf. So we knew we just had to get back to basics on the training pitch and on a Saturday roll our sleeves up and work hard first and foremost and earn the right. So we've won out most weeks now and we've earned the right to play and win games. So thankfully that's the case.
And it goes to show, you know, because people will look and say, you know, the squad you have is a very good squad, and it is a very good squad, but there's no guarantees on a Saturday, is there, in a football match? You have to go and earn your victory.
No, like I've read in pre-season there was other managers referring to our squad as like a premiership squad, and at the end of the day, the players may have played in the premiership, but ultimately we're playing in the championship. That's where we're playing our football, so we're there for a reason. We don't deserve to be in the premiership. We're in the championship for a reason. The club got relegated, and our job this year is to try and get the club back out of that league and into the premiership where they want to be. So yeah, definitely it's not going to be easy, every team we play against, because Portadown is a massive club, and every team we play against, it's like a cup final for them, and they're going to up their game by 10% because they're playing against us, and they see us as a big hit. So yeah, we love the challenge, and we know every week what teams are going to throw at us, so it's just about embracing that and going out and, as I say, rolling the sleeves up and earning the right to play first and foremost, and then go and show our quality then.
Is that nearly the mentality within the club? Is it sort of us against the world as the team that everyone's expecting to be there or thereabouts in promotion? You have to go and make sure, you know, you get that because you think they're all out to get you, or how are you as a team? What is your kind of carrot on a stick approach?
100%, definitely. Like, we know that we've been tagged with the favourites tag, so to speak, and we know anything less than promotion this year will be a failure, and there's no point in covering that up. It's end of the day, Niall's assembled a squad there to go and challenge and win the league, and that is ultimately our main aim, and that's our bread and butter.
And we'll come on to the game this weekend in a moment, but what a result in the Betmaclean Cup against Crusaders. You certainly weren't carrying the favourites tags going into that one, but to get a 2-1 win, that must have felt fantastic when you heard the full-time whistle.
It felt fantastic, and it still feels so important. They have the track we to work for 90 minutes. So, yeah, no, it was a big result. And now, a little bit before the game, that these are the games we want to be involved in week out. We want to play Crusaders, Limfields, Larns, Glentorns, Sporting Big Club. So that's the games that we look forward to. And yeah, we were definitely massive underdogs. Crusaders are an unbelievable side, and they move the ball so well, and they're something pretty in the league team on the Premiership run. So we knew that it was going to be a massive task, and to truth be told, I think over the 90 minutes of the course of the game, we deserved the win. We could have been 3 up in the first half, but it took our chances. But again, they showed their class, they got it back to 1-1, and they had a couple of chances, we had a couple of chances, and then thankfully Eamon went through near the end and put 2-1 up, and it was the last 15 minutes from a bit cagey. They were firing everything at us, they're staying and trying to catch the sinkers. They certainly done that. They brought on all their big hitters, and there weren't really missing too many players. So yeah, we stood tall, and we got into one out, so yeah, we're able to mix it with the big boys, so to speak.
And that must give you great confidence going forwards.
Yeah, definitely. Like, if you're looking at home to Crusaders, like, we weren't really given a chance. We weren't expected to win, and we showed we were more than capable of stepping up and playing and competing against the big teams. So yeah, it's just a matter now of bringing that mentality into the rest of the league campaign as well. As I say, that's our bread and butter, so no point in turning up. Anybody can turn up any given day and play against the Limfields, the Larns, and the Horns. It's getting yourself ready for the Ballyclares, the Ard, the Derbys, you know, that sort of way.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. The cup draw, for anyone that's missed it, Portadown now in the quarterfinals. They will play the winner of Anna United and Loughgall. That game is yet to be played. So the winner of that, so either way, a derby tie. And if you get past that, and I'm saying the F word, I know you're not looking past your next game, then it would be the winner of Coleraine versus Limavady or Glenavon. So look, there's we'll throw the old cliches all at it here, there's no easy games and all the rest of it, but that's the path of Portadown want to get to a final, and of course you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything you play in, you want to do the best you can, and definitely we want to go as far as we can in this competition, and it's a nice wee distraction from the league first. It gives us a bit of breathing space and sort of gives us a free hit, you know, to go out and try new things and give, I know Niall the other night we used our bench and our we've got a pretty small squad, but we've stuck with the same squad there for the last win of weeks in the league. So our subs and the fringe players there, they were very patient and waiting to get their chance, and they come on the other night and they didn't look out of place. They were unbelievable. Like, they showed Niall that they're more than capable of stepping in when called upon. So yeah, that's good in that sense.
And seasons like this, Ryan, where, you know, you've had the experience of the difficult seasons where you're trying to stave off relegation and you know the toll that takes. What's it like being in a season like this where you're on a cup run, you're pushing for a promotion? It must feel so much better to be having this type of campaign.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I've been in a few relegation battles in my time with Dungannon and Donegal Mallard. So yeah, it's different, it's a change. As you say, you're competing at the top half of the table and you're getting more of the ball and you're getting more opportunities and you've got more possession, as I say, and there's going to be, we're going to create more chances for myself and for the team. And yes, yeah, definitely, it's a nice position to be in, and it'll not count for anything. It'll come April if we're not promoted.
And eyes on the prize, next game up this weekend at home to Dergview.
Yeah, Dergview, I know them very well, a team very close to myself. I've played some as well, and yeah, I only live 5 miles from the Dergview pitch, so yeah, I know all about them. And they've got a new manager as well, Emmett, so he'll be looking to stamp his authority, and no better place to come to than one of the big hitters, as I said before, and put a marker down there for them. So they'll be looking to get points on the board because they're near the bottom, and they're a good club as well, and they know that we played in the first game of the season and there was only a kick of the ball and it was 3-2, so they'll have their homework done with us and they'll have their homework done with them, and hopefully it'll be a good day and hopefully we get the win.
When it comes to games like that, because you'd know Emmett Friars, is it the sort of game you're going, oh Emmett, how are you, would there be any sort of chat beforehand, or is it a simple case of no, I'll talk to him afterwards depending on the result?
No, I'd know Emmett right and well. Like I've played with him at Ballina Mallard and I just know him through football and stuff, but I'll see him before the game maybe, yeah, but once we cross the white line for that 90 minutes, it's him against me, so to speak, you know. So yeah, we'll have a pint after the game maybe, but that'll be it.
Oh, pint after the game sounds all right. I suppose you've got him paying for it as well, have you?
Pay for it, I definitely.
Looking at, you know, how things are shaping up, it's a rosier complexion in the league table now, certainly, and you'll want to try and carry that forwards. What about your teammates? Give us a bit of an insight into the changing room now that you've had a bit of time, everyone to get to know one another. Who are the big characters, would you say, in there?
Well, I don't think you need me telling you this, but Skinner's a certain character, so isn't it? He's well, good lad on the change room now, and our skipper there, Gary Thompson's the top man as well. He keeps us all on track and doesn't let anyone take their foot off the pedal, and keeps us all pushing hard and wanting more training. And then you've obviously got, we've an experienced squad. We've got Ross Redmond, who he doesn't let you go without paying a pound fine, so he's sharp on that now. But they're all good lads, and you've got Lexi Doogie Wilson to come back into it, and you've got Big Hoggy there who's been about as well. So we've definitely got a very experienced squad, and we've a lot of leaders within the change room, and we push each other on and we back each other to the hilt.
So what do you normally get fined for then, because I'm guessing it's you that gets caught?
I get fined for landing late all the time, but I live the furthest away, like, so they don't give me any leeway at all.
And is there a couple of like sort of silly fine things in there that are just for fun, or what way do you do it? Do you have any forfeits if you're a repeat offender?
No, I think it's just a double dunk. You get a fine, a double dunk. You get the fine double, I think, you know. So nah, hey, the fines aren't too bad. Ross keeps us on track, and he runs a tight ship, you know. So yeah, hopefully we'll get a few pounds gathered up and have a good night out at the Christmas night out.
Well, there you go. If anybody hears Ross Redmond's pockets jingling, then that's just Maisie's expenses there for arriving 2 seconds late.
There's a term gone missing out of it. We know he's bought the child nappies.
And yes, a changing room with Skinner. Does anybody else get a word in?
Nah, big Skinner now. He's just something, you just have to let him do what he wants to. You know, there's, you take him with a pinch of salt, just let him get on.
Well, he's still bossing both codes as well, isn't he? I mean, I saw the video that went viral the other day.
Him and Eamon's actually playing on Sunday against each other, him and Fife now, and for their two Gaelic clubs, so I'm interested to see who goes out on top on that one.
Oh, now there's the perfect opportunity to split a dressing room. How the heck do you all manage that on Monday or whatever when you come in for training and one of them's going to be in foul form?
I know, and the two of them's going for the same position in the Port of Round team, so it's yeah, I know if Big Skinner takes Fife out here on Sunday, he's not going to get a game for Port of Round.
Oh, here, that is absolutely class. I'm now going to have to pay a wee bit of extra attention to that. For anybody uninitiated, give their club sides a mention just so people can go and keep an eye on that on social media or wherever.
He's playing for Glenravel, and Big Skinner's playing for Glenull.
And Skinner did not get a call from Mickey Hart as much as he wants us all to believe he did.
I think it's probably up there, you know, he's not happy with Mickey Hart now, but I guess a fellow throw man like myself, so same about it, have to give him a shout.
I'm sure that'll go over somebody's head, but hopefully enough of our listeners appreciate that. You can have a little look on Owen's social media. He's fun everywhere he is, and sounds like he's fun in the changing room as well. Maisie, look, great to have you on the programme, and best of luck for the weeks and months ahead.
Thanks, too bad, Michael. Thank you very much.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Well, as I feel like I'm always saying in this programme, it is such an exciting time to be following football in Northern Ireland. There's so much great content being made around the league now as well. And one of the big players in that is David Kerr from the Northern Ireland Football League. And you might have seen that yesterday they have released a fantastic documentary called Inside Cliftonville. No prizes for guessing which club it's about. But here to tell us about his job, what goes into it, and certainly what went into making this superb documentary is David Kerr. David, thank you very much for coming on to The Score.
Pleasure to be here, Michael. That's some introduction you've given me, but greatly appreciated. So, yeah, I've been working away in the background with my role at Niffles. I'm currently the digital content lead, so I lead on our content across our social media platforms. So, as you quite rightly mentioned, Inside Cliftonville is the latest piece, which has been quite a bit of work over the last few weeks, which is basically delving into the history, tradition and community of Cliftonville Football Club. So it's kind of trying to demonstrate the history, the people involved, but also the impact that the club has on the people that follow them, but also the surrounding areas and the community. So it's been great. I've worked with Jim McGilton quite closely, Joe Gormley, George McMullen, who comes across very well in the documentary, who people remember from his penalty against Linfield. So there's been a lot of different people and a lot of different highlights. You're able to watch it for free on the NFL YouTube channel, where we have content going out on a weekly basis covering all leagues across the Northern Ireland Football League.
I'm sure if you're listening to this and you haven't seen it yet, you'll want to go and see it. But so much work, and I hope people appreciate it, so much work goes into making something like this. It's not like you just turn up, film for a couple of hours, and then bang, hey presto, that's it, ready.
Yeah, you're quite right. There's two sort of sides to it. There's the capturing the content and actually going out to make it and meeting people for interviews. Cliftonville, I have to say, David Begley and Imelda Pettigrew in particular have been incredibly cooperative with me. Like, I've been up at Solitude 6:15 some mornings flying a drone, which I never thought I'd be at Solitude at that time. But and then arranging interviews. I was with Jim McGilton. He picked me up in his car outside Windsor Park and went over to Solitude to grab sort of the essence of what he feels about the job and how he's finding his time at Cliftonville. And then I was with George McMullen at his home. I'm just walking into his house and seeing that top that he has framed on the wall from his famous penalty against Linfield. So there's that side of it. And then also there's the side of it where you have to sit down and do the real work and do the editing, which is, it's almost 10% capture and 90% edit. So I've spent a lot of time with the headphones on in the Niffle offices editing the video, getting it all ready. And hopefully it's content that not only Cliftonville fans will be proud of, that it's their team and it's something that they'll watch and have a sense of pride of what their club's about, but also as part of our content that we're producing within the Northern Ireland Football League, it's to put it out there to people who maybe have fallen away from following the Irish League or haven't watched the Irish League before. And it's just given that image that our clubs are community clubs in the hearts of communities, and Cliftonville is a prime example of that, of Ireland's, as they're Ireland's oldest club and have been there for over 140 years.
The Lisburn Distillery one was so good. You must get real enjoyment going out, meeting the characters and just learning more about the league, because we all love it, and yet there's so many stories all the time. It's impossible to know them all, so it must be fun to kind of capture them and try and tell them.
Yeah, it's real football. You know, I've been to, I think, Since the start of January, I've been to 129 games of football. Wow. In 2023. And every time I walk into an Irish League ground, whether it be Lisburn Distillery, Cliftonville, Linfield, Glentoran, you know, you can feel it. You know, there's something really special about the product and the game that we have here. So going back to the distillery one I did last year, the Inside series started there. So it's getting a grasp of what clubs are about and their history, you know, going back to European games and they're playing Barcelona. And then I'm in the changing room with the players and you're seeing that real raw emotion and what the game actually means to those players involved. And I think at the time they hadn't won back-to-back games all season, so it worked out quite well. I went and they won back-to-back games, so they were pestering me for a while to try and get me back more and more often. But No, listen, our content's doing really well this year. We've got over 15,000 new followers across all our social media platforms. We nearly have 11 million video views across all our social media platforms as well. So the content's flying. As the attendances improve, the product improves on the pitch. If we can grow the digital space with that and the younger generations are on there, it's only going to breed further success. And there's different content ideas we've done this year. I'm sure people have noticed Terrace Talk. We've had Laurie Watton out speaking to fans before games to get the fans' perspective on the game. We also cover Championship and PIL games weekly for highlights that goes out on Saturday night. So it's almost a mini match of the day. So things are improving. We've got more content ideas going out there. And then the real highlight for me this year, I've been progressing with a series called One of Our Own. So effectively I'll go out to any given club that I'm at on a Saturday or Friday night or a Tuesday, and I ask the club, who is your real stalwart, who best represents your club? And as we all know, there's so many people who give up their own time amongst their own jobs, their own family lives, and to commit to the clubs within their community. And I've met some great people, and the content's really wholesome, and I hope people have been enjoying it so far.
And it really goes to show it isn't just a game, how much it means when people who have, because I've watched that series and it's fantastic, people who have given more than half of their lives as volunteers and just couldn't think of anything but get me back to another game. And it's their not just their community, it's their family really, and it's a real sense of purpose for people of all ages.
Yeah, some of the clubs, like I spoke to Dennis Clark, who's the chairman of Queen's University, and he's been involved with his club for over 50 years. You know, I'm 28 and I'm even thinking 50 years involved with a football team. You know, sometimes it could put your head away, but honestly, it's unbelievable to meet these people, but also to learn from their experiences and the experiences that they've had with their clubs, you know, from the very start to where the league is today. And I have to say, with my colleagues in the Northern Ireland Football League, I've been here a year and a half now, and with George leadership, Neil Coleman, Ian Forrester and Stephen Mills, the league's going on an upward trajectory. And if I can play my part in that in the digital space and continue to grow the numbers and the success online, I'm more than happy to do so.
I'm convinced you sleep inside football grounds, really, when you see how much content you're generating on your own at times. Do players, they must do, pest you and go, you must have an angle of my goal, or can you be here because I reckon I'm going to do something today?
Yeah, this is something that's becoming more prevalent because the players actually have large social media following themselves. You're trying to buy into that and their own audience. Like, we've got players who have come back from across the water, like the likes of Niall McGinn, who has a massive social media following. So a big technical side of it on Instagram's sort of a platform that the younger generation is on, and you can collaborate with players on posts, so your content is viewed by their audience as well. So our video views have went up just because the players have been sharing our content. And a big content series that I've been doing for the last year is Irish League Uncut. So the idea behind that is effectively the BBC and the clubs film the games from a highlights broadcast perspective, and they do a fantastic job. But my idea was to film the game from a pitch side angle and on the pitch before games and after the games to give fans a look of what a match really is like, that they might not normally have access to. So sometimes when you're pitch side, you get a really good angle from behind or sideways on, or you capture a save or a tackle that you can really feel it, you know, pitch side, and you have the atmosphere of the fans and their faces celebrating. So things like that have been really, really successful, and if the players love it, and if the fans love it, I'm happy. So long may I continue.
And the amazing thing is people can just consume this on whatever social media platform they want to go to. For the documentary, the best place, I would imagine, is going to be the YouTube channel. Just remind us all one more time, because it's on there now, how we can view it and why we should view it. Give us the big sell.
Yeah, so how to view it, it's on the Northern Ireland Football League YouTube channel. There'll be links to it across all our social media channels. We're on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and on our website as well. So the reason to watch it if you want to get inside an Irish League club, if you want to know what it's like in a dressing room, if you want to feel the history of Ireland's oldest club, check out Inside Cliftonville and give it a watch. And, you know, if you're fond of Cliftonville and it makes you proud, that's great. But if you're not familiar with Cliftonville, or you're not familiar with going to an Irish League match, hopefully it gives you a wee bit of a taste and an appetite to go to a game near you at the weekend.
David, it's been really good catching up with you, and nice to shine a light on the guy shining a light on our league as well. So thank you very much for coming on to the programme.
Thanks, Michael. Great to be on.
The Score with Michael Clark.
And just like that, we are at the end of this week's programme. Thank you so much for your company. It has been great to have you along with us once again. And my thanks go to our guests, to Gareth Dean, to Andy Ryan, Ryan Mays, and to David Kerr. Until next time, all that remains to be said is enjoy your weekend of sport. Bye-bye.